Welcome to Words of Grace, radio ministry of Elder Ben Winslet, pastor of the Flint River Primitive Baptist Church near Huntsville, Alabama. We invite you to stay tuned to today's broadcast.
In Matthew chapter 13, the Lord Jesus Christ taught one of the more famous parables in all of his ministry, the parable of the sower. It's a passage that many of you have heard, and because it's so familiar, it can become easy to assume that this parable is only speaking about other people and how they might respond to the Word of God. But as Jesus explains this parable, as Luke would record it for us, he says, "Take heed, therefore, how ye hear." That is an important statement because it places the emphasis and the application of this not to others, but squarely on us, those of us who are disciples of Christ, who hear the word and follow him. And so as we share today's message with you, perhaps some questions that you could ask: why sometimes does the Word of God flourish in our lives, and at other times we seem to have it choked out by things that we are going through, distractions or difficulties? Why do some believers bear abundant fruit in God's Word, while others seem to struggle with seasons of barrenness? As you listen to today's broadcast, I hope through the course of this message that you will be better equipped to understand and identify the things that could threaten your fruitfulness in the gospel. Here's today's message: Hurdles to Fruitfulness. You could join me this morning, if you'd like to, in the book of Matthew chapter 13, and I've entitled my message for you, Hurdles to Fruitfulness. Hurdles to Fruitfulness. I want to consider with you today, in our time together, one of the more notable sermons, memorable sermons that Jesus preached. They're all notable and they're all memorable, but this one seems to be emphasized much more because of its relevance to us as people, its relevance to us as well as gospel preachers, because as we see this parable of the sower that we want to share with you today, it reveals to us, as those who sow the seed of the gospel, the different reactions that we will have in the lives of others, the different longevities of people who hear the word that we get to share the word of God with, their longevity in the church, in the kingdom. And for each and every one of us, as we'll see today as we come to the application of this particular parable, we find warnings of things that you and I are faced with each and every day that could cause us to cease bearing fruit as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we read this passage together, as we study it together today, maybe one good thing to say up front would be that we should take heed, all of us, lest we fall. This is not a parable. These are never parables that are given to somebody else or written merely to be spoken in our hearing as if they apply to someone else. But these are parables that do very much apply to us and give us warnings for our day-to-day lives and greater instruction, insight into life as a disciple of Christ. Matthew 13, 1 and 2. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. Let's read the parable and then back up and consider what the lesson is teaching. The parable of the sower, hurdles to fruitfulness in your life. And I want you to pay attention to the four types of soil that Jesus is going to speak about. He spake unto them many things in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow." A sower there doesn't have reference to someone who takes thread and connects fabric together. Kids need to understand that. I think most of us adults understood that. But a sower is someone who sows seed. What does it mean to sow seed? It means that you go and you plant seed. Most of the planting that we do in our day and age is very targeted, very specific. You go and you plow your field, you get your rows ready, I remember my dad taught me, and I don't know if this is an old wives' tale or just something that Southern people would do, but you want to put three seeds in each spot, one for you, one for the Lord, and one for the birds. And whichever one of those is the best, you let grow up and let the fruit grow on it. Well, what a sower would do in that day, rather than go and micromanage what happens, and we micromanage it today with the soil and the nutrients and the water, and we have it literally as a science, and it is very much a science. But how they would sow back in this day is what we call broadcast spreading of seed. They go, they take handfuls, and they just toss it, and they just toss it, and they just toss it, and they toss it. And because of that, seeds land, as we'll see in this parable, in places that maybe they don't have the greatest chance of surviving. Places where they won't, maybe if they do germinate, some places they won't. If they do germinate, maybe they won't have a lasting crop that grows. And that is the exact sort of principle that Jesus is going to use to teach a spiritual lesson. A sower goes forth and he's sowing. He's throwing the seed everywhere. How many of you have used one of those broadcast spreaders in your yard, maybe for weed and feed or fertilizer or even to sow seed? You're broadcasting it. Interestingly enough, what do we call a radio program? A radio broadcast. All these words overlap in different settings. You broadcast the seed, you broadcast the radio program. And a preacher is a what of the gospel? He's a sower of the gospel. A sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. I am a sower and I am sowing today. I am sowing today. Some of the seed that he threw fell by the wayside, and the fowls, the birds, came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, and when they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth, they came up very quickly. And when the sun was up, because they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. You see that in nature. If you have a plant that germinates, but there's a lot of rock and very little soil, it's not going to survive very long and grow to be a large plant, because there's nowhere for the roots to grow and there's very little moisture in a tiny bit of soil between rocks. Generally speaking, you're not going to have an oak tree that's 40 feet tall if it's in this much soil, because there's nowhere for the roots to grow into to stabilize it, but also to pull nutrients out of the soil. And the nutrients deplete very quickly. The water is depleted. And what happens? The sun comes out and scorches it because it has no root. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. Here's another reality when you're dealing with plant life. You have to make sure that you've eliminated the undesirable plant life, because there's only so many nutrients, there's only so much in the soil that will feed the plant that you want to grow. Whether you're talking about water or you're talking about nitrogen or some of the other chemicals that plants need to thrive, and so you want to eliminate the competition so that what you're growing is going to be healthy. At any rate, it's sown among thorns. The thorns sprung up and choked them. But other seed fell into good ground, cultivated ground, ground that's ready to hear it. Maybe another good thing to say is that the ground is broken up. The ground is broken. Give you a little bit of a hint as we begin to look at application of it. Maybe brokenness is one of the best conditions for the preaching of the gospel to be received. Maybe I should look for broken people rather than people who think they have it all together for the gospel to be received. You remember the parable I shared with you recently about worship? Go into the highways and the hedges and compel people to come in, but there were some types of people referenced there. The maimed, the blind, people that are afflicted, or as you might say, broken people. broken people, a broken condition, broken-hearted people. Who's the only one that can help brokenheartedness? The Lord can help brokenheartedness. The broken up soil is waiting to receive the seed. And so brokenness creates a heart condition that makes the seed easier to germinate in. The seed of the gospel germinates easier in broken hearts than it does hard hearts, distracted hearts, hearts out of the wayside, etc. And so again, reading this for you without comment, a sower is going to sow. When he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls, the birds, came and devoured them up. Birds ate them. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no root. They withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. It's one of the most common sayings that Jesus had in his ministry. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. What does that tell you? That not everybody has ears to hear. Even among those who have working eardrums, not everybody has ears to hear. So let's go to the application of this particular parable. A man is sowing. There are four types of soil, and depending on the type of soil, you have different reactions, different longevities in bearing fruit. As we go into the explanation of this, I'm going to say that our people have given one of two general applications of this parable. And I say our people because there are Christians in the world that believe you can lose salvation, and this might be a parable to them about losing salvation. But can you lose salvation? You cannot lose salvation. How do I know you cannot lose eternal salvation? Because it is, by definition, eternal. Beyond that, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them. They follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. No man is able to pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." There's no taking a child of God from their Savior, and there's no taking the life that He has given them from them, because it is eternal life. It would be temporary life if you could lose it. Romans 8, we read that there is absolutely nothing that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In John 6, in verse 37, Jesus says that He came down from heaven, not to do His own will, but the will of the Father that sent Him. And He says that all which the Father hath given Him shall come to Him, and He will lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. That presents eternal security. Our people have had one of two understandings of this passage. The first is not my view, but it is well received in history and to be respected and not insulted. It's a lesson on why unregenerates seem to hear but fall away. Unregenerates can seem to hear but fall away. Many of our forefathers used this text to show how regeneration is necessary to receive the Word and follow Christ. Regeneration is necessary to receive the Word and follow Christ. Occasionally there are people who hear it with their ear and think, wow, this is awesome, align themselves with it, and then turn out to be wolves in sheep's clothing. Our forefathers used it in debate against people who taught, you've got to do XYZ to get regenerated. They would use it to say, unless you're regenerated, you can't do XYZ. And so we respect them for that. However, my view on this is a simple lesson as to why folks fail to be fruitful. Have you ever failed to be fruitful? I have. Did you fail at some point this week to be fruitful the way that you could have been? And so I view this not as, and many people have viewed this, not as a lesson on why False professors fall away, though certainly they fall away for these reasons as well. They don't have root in themselves. You could borrow that language and apply to them. I view this rather as a lesson on why you and I get so distracted that we cease to bear fruit in the preaching of the gospel. Why we cease to present the fruit that God would have us to present. If I had to give you one reason why I'm inclined to apply this to us, in Luke 8, Jesus presented this message. Luke 8 gives us Luke's version of Jesus presenting this message. And Jesus then turns to the disciples and in teaching to them says, "Take heed, therefore, how ye hear." Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. And so how I want to apply this for you is as a warning of the things that can cause us to be unfruitful as we hear the gospel. You and I can be unfruitful in the gospel. A last little caveat before we look at these types of soil. This has reference more to fruit and fruitfulness in the gospel, fruitfulness at hearing the word, than it does the fruit of the Spirit, as you find in Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5 is a set of personality attributes that you get when you are born again. No, you don't always walk in them the way that you should, but that's always with you because it's a nature. Can you turn a nature off? Wouldn't it be great if you could turn a nature off? Because we also have the nature of the flesh, and it never leaves us alone. So much so that even when we would do good, what is present with us? Evil. Even when I would do good, evil is present with me. At my very best moment, right then and there, is a carnal, wicked nature that I inherited from Adam that's trying to get me to do things that I don't want to do and don't need to do. Likewise, the fruit of the Spirit, the nature that you have of the Spirit, doesn't get turned off. It's a part of your personality. Now, which one is dominant at any given time depends on the decisions that you make and which one you feed and which one you put to death. And guess what? You got to put it to death over and over and over because it doesn't really die. That's what that metaphor is communicated to us for. You've got to daily put it to death. You've got to daily deal with it, squash it, put it down. But the fruit of the Spirit, that is inherent in your heart, because where does the Spirit live? In your heart. You know, we teach a lot about a powerful God. Could you imagine believing that the Spirit can live in your heart, and God is omnipotent and has all this power, but He can live in your heart and make no difference? That would be crazy, wouldn't it? That wouldn't sound like the big God we preach. This parable is talking about fruitfulness in the Word. Fruitfulness in the Word. Because after all, what is sown and becomes fruitful? I'll answer that in just a moment. Let's read it. These disciples come to Jesus. "Why are you preaching in parables?" Well, this people's heart is wax gross. Their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes they've closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. "But blessed are your eyes, they see, and your ears they hear. When the sower goes forth to sow," as you'll see here, the sower is sowing the seed of the Word of God. The seed is the Word of God as it is preached. "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside." Now, seed by the wayside. By the wayside is important to understand. When people cultivated their fields in Jesus' day, they had pathways that surrounded and navigated through their fields. After all, we don't fly into the fields. They walk on the pathways. What happens when you, or perhaps even your oxen, other people that harvest your field, what happens when you walk on that soil over and over and over and over again? What happens to the soil? Becomes compacted. It becomes compacted, and so it's not soft, it's not broken up. the seed doesn't get covered or sink into the ground. It's very hard soil, and because of that, the seed can't germinate. Now, Jesus is going to explain what that means. By the wayside would be seed that lands in soil that's not prepared for it for one reason or another. So what happens is the wicked one comes and takes that seed which was sown because of a lack of understanding. He takes it away. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. Now, let's think this through. That detail of the wicked one taking away, finding opportunity to take away the seed which is sown, is one reason why we believe this is talking about you and me and not unregenerates, because Satan doesn't have to steal the word from the heart of an unregenerate. Because the heart of the unregenerate is so stony, it's harder than compacted soil. The seed bounces off, as it were. Satan doesn't have to take the seed out of the heart or the mind of an unregenerate, because the unregenerate finds it, generally speaking, foolishness. Just an unregenerate on the street that hears the word, they laugh, they're angry, they're offended, they're cut to the heart even at the word that's preached. Satan doesn't have to come pick it out and take it. In other words, from their heart, they suppress. According to Romans 1, the heart of the unregenerate suppresses, holds down the truth and unrighteousness, according to Romans 1. So it seems more reasonable to me that this is talking about a child of God who is not prepared to hear the word. When they hear it, they don't understand it. And because they don't understand it, Satan comes and picks out the seed and takes it away. Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever known someone who argued with you when you told them something true about Scripture, and they argued with you because they didn't understand what you just said to them? Has that ever happened to you? Happens to me all the time on social media. It happens a lot about the doctrines of grace, because they have a misconception, a caricature of the doctrines of grace, and when you present it, they argue based upon their misunderstanding, but they don't hear the word and cultivate the word and bear fruit, be fruitful in the word because of a misunderstanding. Misunderstandings are terrible things. That's why we're to be swift to hear and slow to speak. Misunderstandings are very terrible things. We have minds that misunderstand things. We misread things. And Satan capitalizes on misunderstanding, they understand it not, to take the word from your life so that you are not fruitful. How about the stony ground? Now you could see where our forefathers who applied this more towards regeneration and a lesson about the necessity of it to receive the word, because it's stony ground. It is stony ground. I concede that. It is stony ground, but it's defined as not much earth. There's not much depth to it. And because he has no root in himself, the seed can't take root. For a while, he endures, but when there's persecution or tribulation, by and by, he's offended. Are there examples of born-again people in the New Testament that ceased to bear fruit because of the fear of persecution? Did Peter deny Jesus at his trial? Peter actually finds himself denying Christ for fear of persecution. Within the completion of the next two centuries, you would have an entire controversy in Christianity called the Lapsian controversy, where because of persecution, people fell away. And then when persecution subsided, guess what they did? They came back. then what do you do with them? We were over here willing to face death, and you left because it was easy, easier to leave than to face death. And here you come back. Do we take you back? That was a huge controversy. It was a major controversy. And beyond that, what if you were a preacher that denied Jesus? Do we let you preach again? Again, that was one of the major controversies in early church history. The point there, take heed how you hear, persecution, if you don't have enough root of this in your life, is going to make you flake away, as it were. You need to put more root in the Word in your life. If there's one application, regardless of which take of that you hold to, that you can make, you need more root so that when troubles come, you don't end up somebody that says, I don't know about this Christianity stuff. Here's the one, however, that affects Americans the most. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Do you and I ever allow the cares of this world to hinder us from being fruitful in the gospel of Christ? Yeah, we do all the time. This is the thorny ground, and it chokes out the sprouts which grow from the newly planted seed. And to me, this is the greatest threat to fruitfulness in the church in America. Now, what might this look like? Care of this world. You see that here. He that receives among the thorns hears the word, and the cares of this world, the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. This could look like so many things. It could be, I love entertainment so much that I'm going to spend my Sundays being entertained instead of worshiping God on the Lord's Day. What would be another one? Being so consumed with our employment that we no longer devote ourselves to the ministries that God has given us. And there are times the oxes get in the ditch, and we understand that. God doesn't say not to work, but go to church instead. God says, men, to go to work. And so we got to go to work. And when we have a job, we got to do things to keep our bosses happy. That's just the way that it is. Work is a normal part of life. But it can become such a thing that chokes out the word and causes us to become unfruitful. The care of this world. It can look like anything. The deceitfulness of riches. The deceitfulness of riches also. The pursuit of money, the coveting of money, and the curse it brings on you when it afflicts you. As in Ecclesiastes, the money that you can have afflicts you. Yeah, when it becomes something that you're terrified of letting go of, you save it your whole life and you leave it to somebody else to enjoy. And what if they are a fool? That's a whole chapter in Ecclesiastes devoted to that. The deceitfulness of riches. Do you think America is consumed with the deceitfulness of riches? Yeah, it affects everything we do. And it hinders fruitfulness in the church. You see how this is relevant to us? He that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30.
If you enjoy the messages you hear on Words of Grace, consider this your invitation to visit a Primitive Baptist church in your community. An online directory is available at marchtozion.com. Copies of this and other broadcasts are available for download on iTunes and on our website. Address your correspondence to Words of Grace Radio, 641 Moontown Road, Brownsboro, Alabama, 35741. Or visit us online at flintriverpbc.org.